Hey, welcome to a crazy idea that I have to put Virtually Faithful into a podcast. I'm Catherine Smith, and I started Virtually Faithful as a Facebook group about 2 years ago, and it's evolved into just a wonderful prayerful community where people share prayer requests and wonderful, you know, meditations and ideas. And every once in a while, I hop on with an idea in my face, but I am often searching for these days something to listen to in the car that is not music, that is not commentary, that is just peace. And I thought maybe I'd give a shot at having my own little podcast for Virtually Faithful. So here we go. Welcome to Virtually Faithful podcast number 2, November 12th, 2020. So, a little bit about me. I have 3 kids, and they're kind of the alpha and the omega. I have a soon-to-be 20-year-old next week, a 17-year-old senior in high school, and I have a 3rd grader, a 9-year-old 3rd grader. And so it's just like I have this gap in between, and I love it. I love having the perspective of all the things from the first 2 that I know worked or didn't work, and how I can make the most of the moments, and I know how fast the moments go. Like, looking at my 20-year-old and I look at my 9-year-old, I'm like, weren't you just her size? I mean, it's just crazy. So I really get a lot of joy out of all of them. The life stages are awesome. Like, watching my 2 oldest are boys, and watching the boys just come into their young manhood and seeing them take on jobs and college and, you know, just responsibility and girlfriends, and watching how they treat their girlfriends and their partners, and just the pride of how they're doing. It's just special. And I love that season because we can like talk to each other as humans and not just as do this, do that. Okay, got this. Love you. You know, we're more comrades now and partners in life rather than dictatorship. And that's a nice transition to go into. And then there's Ellie, who, you know, 9 years old, and she is just full of life. She is just amazingly full of life. And I get to enjoy, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm an older mom with her. So I have to admit, I'm a little exhausted sometimes. But most of the time, I am just relishing every moment, because I know how fast it goes. And the other night, we were coming back. I teach CCD at our church on Wednesday nights. And we were coming back from church, and we were talking, and we were talking about various different family members, because she's getting really excited for the holidays and seeing family. We're praying that we can gather in a small group with this virus going on. We're praying that we can actually gather. But we were talking about family, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Ellie says to me, "Are you my stepmom?" And I thought, here it is. Here we go. We're going to have this conversation. And see, the thing is that Ellie is adopted. And Ellie's known that she is adopted from day one, from moment go. We have never hid that from her. Our choice was to just always have it part of her vocabulary. We talked about the angel mom that brought her to us, and I often just called her an angel. I said, she was just this beautiful human that you know, and we just, that's how we talked about it. And she, you know, we had a few moments when she was a little younger where we kind of had to have the real conversation so that she really understood what was going on. But there was never like, okay, we need to sit you down and tell you something. It was just kind of always part of who she was. And as she gets older, she's of course becoming more and more curious about it and things like that. And she's maturing a lot right now. Third grade is a big maturity year. And so she said to me, are you my stepmom? And I knew exactly what she was talking about. And I said, no, honey, I'm your mom. And she goes, so what's my other mom? And I said, well, a lot of people have a lot of different names for how you refer to her, but we call her your birth mom because she gave birth to you. And this led to a path of all these different questions. Do you know her? Can I meet her? And just tell me about her. And I just told her that she is the most selfless human being I think I've ever met in my life. And I just kind of reiterated the story of how she came into our life and what a journey it was for us to find and this woman. And I don't think I know without a doubt the road that we traveled was purposeful and led us directly to her. And so this conversation that I had with Ellie in the car has just stuck with me. And then I remembered that it is National Adoption Awareness Month. November is. And God just showed me that this is what I need to talk about. And I wanted to give you a little insight into that journey, our very purposeful, non-coincidental journey of adoption. And so Chris and I were 23 when we got married, pretty young. And I wanted to be a mom. That's all I, you know, if you looked up on my papers, probably from third grade, what do you want to be when you grow up? I wanted to be a mom. And I thought it was as easy as just getting married and going, okay, let's start a family. But that it didn't happen for us that way. And I had had a miscarriage and was feeling very sad. In the front of our house one day, we were planting a bush. I remember it was a red boxwood bush in front of our house, cute little bungalow house that we had. And I remember saying to Chris, maybe we just need to adopt. And we had a very brief, but in my mind, extremely poignant conversation about adoption. And I think that's where God planted the seed in both of our minds that it is something that we were open to, and he planted it there. And life went on, and after 4 years of not being able to have a child, along came Charlie, and it, not without 8 weeks on bed rest and a miracle that he is. And then we had another miscarriage, and then along came Lewis, another miracle. And I knew I wasn't done. You just know when you're done. And I think as mothers, we know when our heart and arms are ready for another child. And I just knew, and Chris did too. And we kept saying, our table's not full. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to get pregnant. I had cervical carcinoma, meaning cervical cancer. And so I ended up, long story short, having a hysterectomy. But in the midst of all of this, that word adoption started coming back up. And I remember I would go out and I would, you know, kind of search the web on adoption. And we hadn't committed to anything yet. And I was sitting there one day in our toy room where our computer was. Why our computer was in the toy room, I'm not sure. But, and Lewis came and sat on my lap. He's like, what are you doing? And I was looking at, there are some websites you can go to with high risk at need children who need to be adopted. And there were these babies. And I said, well, I'm just looking at these babies. And he said, who are they? And I said, well, they are babies that need homes. And he said, okay, let's get one. I like that one. And he pointed to a cute baby. And I felt like that was another God moment of God going, your kids are going to be fine. This is my will. They are open to it. I am open to it. Move, go forward. Because up until that point, we were spectators of the adoption process and asking questions and things. And so we contracted with a national agency out of a Kansas City. And so we did everything virtually. And after a handful of months, we got the call that we had been chosen by a birth mom. And she was expecting twins, a boy and a girl. And we were so excited. We were overwhelmed. We were like, okay, God, really? Okay. And, but we were like, thy will be done. Okay. If this is what his plan is, this is what we're doing. And we decided, you know, just we had one crib and we just left it up. And we had, you know, they tell you in adoption, be prepared, but don't get overly, like, don't paint the room and don't go overboard. So we had a few outfits and things ready to go. And we had talked to this birth mom on the phone and we were excited and we had talked to her, I think it was on a Tuesday, and she was getting real close and everything was good. And then a few days later, she went into labor and we bought a ticket. She was in Florida and we bought a ticket to Florida. And we had someone coming to help us stay with the boys while we were gone. And we were getting ready to leave and walk out the door to get on the airplane. And we got another call and the babies had been born and they were healthy. And the mom had decided that she was going to mother them. Praise God, right? I pray for those little ones every day that they're in a good, healthy home. But my heart was shattered. And my expectation had just been put. I was like, oh, you know it could happen, but really, did it really just happen? And so then you just kind of regroup. And we had a close friend who is an attorney, and she facilitated a lot of adoptions, and there were a lot of people who lost their parental rights and just different situations. And she's like, let's go to lunch. And I just told her what happened. And she said, Catherine, I can help you. I can help you, you know, find a birth mom, because I am referred to a lot of women who are in crises who choose adoption. And my first reaction was no, because my expectation, the way I had it in my mind, and Chris as well, but the way we had it in our minds of what adoption looked like, was we weren't going to be very close to the mother. She needed to be far away. We needed that safety net so that she couldn't come back and get the child. There were just all of these stipulations that we had put in our head and these preconceived notions of the expectations that we had for this is how this arrangement is going to work. And what my friend was describing to me was just, that was not our plan. And so I said no. And she called me and said, Kath, I have a birth mom that I would like you to meet. So Chris and I talked about it. And we decided to go ahead. And we were like, if God's putting this in front of us, there's a reason. So, okay, we went and met her. And she was a young African-American woman. And this was her second pregnancy, and I think she was 19. And she lived with her grandma. And I took her to a few doctor's appointments, and I took her grocery shopping a couple times. And, or at least I got her groceries, I think, a couple times, yeah. And we were moving right along, and just suddenly she just completely disappeared and stopped communicating with us, stopped communicating with the attorney. And my friend called me and said, yeah, it's not going to happen. She's decided to parent her child with her grandma. And again, my heart hurt. And it's not that I don't wish that these children be with their natural mother, but I just, my arms were waiting for what God had planted that seed in while I was digging up that bush so many years ago. And I just had faith that this is how we were going to complete our family. But I was really starting to believe that maybe it was me wanting this and it wasn't God. So Chris and I were just exhausted emotionally, and we planned a trip to just kind of go detox a little bit emotionally. And I think the day before we were supposed to leave, Kristen called me again a couple months later and said, Kath, I have a birth mom. Mind you, I believe that the girl before that who changed her mind was the first time Kristen had had anybody do that. And so she felt bad for us too. And I just said, Kristen, I can't go. I can't do it again right now. I can't. And she said, Kath, I really need you to meet her. I believe this is your child. And I said to her, listen, you meet with her first. I'm going to Jamaica tomorrow. And we'll be back in a week. And if you still feel strongly about it, then Chris and I will come meet her. And we left. We went to Jamaica. We had a great time. And we came back and she said, yeah, I really want you to meet her. And so we did. And I met this woman who was so, you could tell, just kind of beaten down a little bit. And she was not in a good place. And she loved this baby inside her a lot. And she was looking for the right home. And she was making an unpopular decision that many around her felt. But I met her and we just connected. And we met for lunch and for dinner a couple of times. And one time after lunch, she asked me what I wanted to name the baby. And I paused. Of course, we had a girl's name. We knew it was a girl. But I hadn't even gone there in my mind. And she looked at me and she said, I know you're scared that I'm going to change my mind, but this is your baby. And I'm not going to change my mind. God wants me to have this baby for you. And I bawled. And I just told her I loved her and that I was so sorry that she had to go through this and that she was the most selfless person I'd ever met. and so courageous. And we ended up being there the day that Ellie was born. And just loving this woman that just so selflessly handed over this life to us. And the strength that she had to make that decision, because she was in such a dark place, that she wanted to give this child the best life she could. And she knew that wasn't her at that moment. And I can't imagine having to make that decision. But how courageous of her to, one, choose life, and then choose that it's not with her, the life of that child. So it's just interesting that the expectation that we had for how adoption looked in our life was completely different than the way it came about. And it was not easy. And there was some suffering and there was some pain. But in the end, it was so beautiful. And it was the perfect road. We had to surrender our belief of what we thought was the right way to do it to what God's plan was. And this is why I had to do this today, because today's reading is from Luke chapter 17, verse 20 through 25. And he says, the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God, asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus said in reply, the coming of the kingdom of God cannot be observed, and no one will announce, look, here it is, there, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is among you. And the reflection that I read about that verse, it says, when Jesus told these Pharisees that the kingdom of God was among them, he was telling them that he was the one ushering in the kingdom. This was hard for them to grasp. They had been looking for the Messiah and the kingdom for years, and they were confident that they would spot it based on their understanding of the scriptures. But it was right in front of them in a surprising way. It arrived in a person of a humble carpenter, in a place and a manner that they did not foresee. And it's about giving up our expectations of what things look like or how things are going to resolve themselves or the proper way to do something. Give up what it looks like for this pandemic to end, or what it looks like for our family, or what it looks like for our work life, or what it looks like in the years to come. And it's about surrendering, because God comes in the most unexpected ways. And God was in our story and is in our story. But in order for you to be part of that story that God has planned for you, that is beautiful and perfect, and yes, there are hurts and hard roads along the way, you have to surrender to him and say, I am yours. And that's not easy sometimes. But in honor of National Adoption Awareness, it's a really hard choice for a birth mom to surrender to that. Maybe she's in a dark place. Maybe this baby came in a very unexpected way. But there is light. And I encourage you to speak light about adoption. It's a beautiful option. It's a beautiful option. And there are so many kids already born who would love to be in a home of love and of Christ. I just want to say that surrendering is my word. It is my word. And a lot of times we face really hard things. I have people in my life who are facing illness, and I have people in my life who are facing really hard challenges, and I face them. And but the first thing you have to do is open your arms and open your hands and surrender to it and say, God, show me the way. I am yours. And then you have to be strong and ready to follow that path. So, whew, sorry, that was kind of a heavy topic. But if you're interested in adoption, you ever want to talk about it, I'm here. So is my friend, the attorney, Kristen. I can refer you to her. She's awesome and she can answer questions too. But happy National Adoption Month. Happy month of thanks and Thanksgiving. Enjoy the sunshine. Let's end with a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for coming in such an unexpected way. In the manger, as a baby, completely vulnerable and human, perfectly God and perfectly human. Thank you for coming and showing us the way. Help us to surrender every day, to know that your plan is the perfect plan, and that we just have to accept and walk it and join you on the path. I'm so thankful for this day, for this year, no matter how challenging. And I ask you to fill the hearts of all those listening and help us surrender to every step ahead. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to Virtually Faithful podcast number 2. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, could you like it? Could you share it? I plan to do one every couple of weeks. Have a great day. Have a great month. Have a great time of surrender. See you later.